This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, Canada. Zucchino Weeks in studio. I kind of feel like, Bob, it's like a bit of a bridge week. We kind of almost could take the week off.
Almost. But we're not.
We're here. We're here. Did you play golf this week?
I did. I had a lovely day yesterday. I played in the 47th annual Tin Hat Tournament at the Oakville Golf and Country Club, and that's a tournament that honors veterans.
Nice.
Each year they honor one of the different divisions of the forces. So this year it was the Air Force, and they had a flyover by some World War I airplanes right over the first hole and everything. And we had a great mess dinner last night. We had a nice speaker, and I actually played golf.
Nice.
So not too well, but I did. Well, how about you?
Yeah, a little bit. Nothing epic or anything like that. Next week is our club championship at the Toronto Hunt. So actually, that's reason why next week you'll be in this chair and Scully will be in that chair. And you're going fishing this week. So
yes, I am. Leaving tomorrow. Monday morning, have the line in the water for a few days.
Now, before we get to news and headlines, just curious, because it's an off week for the web.com as well as the FedEx Cup playoffs. So just from a FedEx Cup playoffs position, do you like the off week in the middle? Do you think it's necessary? Like, I don't, they'll say it's necessary or the players won't play all four events.
Right.
I don't like the off week. I feel like there's a momentum loss happening here, that we've been on such a tremendous run coming out of New York and now out of Boston, that I almost feel like you know, maybe it'll change the way this thing's moving or the way the ball's rolling downhill right now.
I think if you're going to have a week off, have it before the tour final, the tour championship, right? So play three events, have a week off, have your finale, like the Super Bowl.
Right.
They have that 2 week, and maybe you can build it up a little bit more and make things going. But I think you do have to have a week off, even though I don't like it, like you said, because the players just won't play four, and then some of them right into the President's Cup, right, with 5 weeks.
See, I like what you just, I've never heard that idea before, and I think that's the best idea, the one you just said right there. Have it before the tour championship, a little bit more like a Super Bowl. You give like an extra media week, whatever you want to call it. But by then, you know what you've got.
Right.
You've got, here's the 30, that's who's playing, and you can take a little break. I feel like now the break in the middle with 70 still at the BMW, if you're playing well coming out of Boston and you're trying to make a push for the top 30, the last thing you want right now is a week off.
And I know that it's hard to kind of figure out what's going to happen, but we've had two great weeks with two big players, you know, winning
and
great championships, like runs down the line. So you do kind of feel like, oh, the air's been let out of the balloon this
week.
You
know, right. Now, what are we going to have, in BMW? Are we going to lose that momentum with those great players? Are we going to have, like, it's going to flip over? The guys at the bottom 70 are going to be sitting on top of the leaderboard. Like, that's what we don't want.
Right.
You know, all that being said, though, who knows? You know, this is all make-believe. Maybe we pick up where we left off. But I like that idea. I like the break before the Tour Championship. All right. Busy, busy show. Tomo Bystedt's going to be with us. TaylorMade launching a new iron, the MCGB. This iron has got everything in the world going on in it for super game improvement. We're going to talk about that today. Adam Hadwin talking about making it to the President's Cup, which is only a few weeks away, qualifying for that international team. Jamie Zinlowski, the former long drive champion from Canada, who is now transitioning into the professional golf world, talking to Bob about the differences between long drive and the challenge to become a golf professional and play the game for a living. We'll have winners, where to what. We'll have Scully time. Lots to get to, but let's do some news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
All right, the President's Cup captain's picks are in. Last week, we were split pretty much down the middle, 50-50. It was moving from 49 to 51% in terms of our Twitter poll. We were split here in the studio in terms of you and me and Scully on what we do and how we would do it. But at the end of the day, Phil Mickelson is a pick for the U.S. team. I think maybe a lot of it had to do with his play over the weekend at Boston. You know, we had that show on Saturday. It was only one round in the bank. There was still three rounds to go. He played well, so I guess he showed Steve Stricker something. and Charlie Hoffman, which I think is a no-brainer. I'm shocked that Charlie Hoffman actually fell to the 11 spot. He just played well at big events all year. That's Team USA. And Team International, Emiliano Grillo, which I think was the only no-brainer there because he's the only one with any kind of real PGA Tour experience. And Arnaban Lahiri, which was 16 or 17 down the list. You had to jump over some guys to get to him. But he has experience from the previous, although not exactly the best experience, 0-3 and 0-3, but then again, was part of the team. Maybe he's a good team room guy. I don't know. I don't know where else you go with that international team. You and I spoke about that last week, Bob. We could stare at that list all day long. I couldn't find a name.
Yeah, you start to look at some of those guys who were playing on that list who were like after Grillo, who's 11, you go 12, 13, Tanahara hasn't played very well at all. Yuta Ikeda hasn't really played all that well. I mean, Arnaban Lahiri at least has had some decent finishes in the last little while. And I don't know what, I mean, Nick Price sort of said he's the great in the team room. He's a wonderful team player. He's got some experience. He did want some experience. But like you said, I mean, how far down the list do you go? He said in the press conference afterwards that he was actually considering Graham Dillette at one point. But he said he knows he has the bad back. And what do you do with that? So unless you want to go with a really crazy pick, I guess this will work out. And, you know, the thing about captain's picks, you'll either look like a genius or a fool, depending on how they perform.
Right. And that's why, you know, we've seen in the past guys just go 11-12. And they just let the numbers.
Right.
You know, because they don't want to be that guy to look like the fool. I just don't think you could have done that on either of these teams either way. Although, all due respect to Brian Harman, who played so well this year and is not a part of that U.S. team. That's the only other name for me in this mix that I kind of feel bad that maybe he didn't get an honest look because of Mickelson.
He's had a good year.
Michelle Wee withdrawing from the final ladies major of the season. Now, not a big surprise here. Emergency appendix surgery, but that's too bad. Michelle Wee, a bit of a strange year for her, but you know she has shown moments in big events this year of the old flashes of brilliance.
You know, she didn't have any status this year. She had lost her status, so she had to really put the nose to the grindstone, and she has performed really pretty well this year, and not quite to the expectations that we all had for her when she was 14 and 15 and stuff, but I think she's becoming more of a solid player, a player who doesn't, I won't say she plays well every week and week in and out, week out and week in, but the highs and lows are narrower, right? The gaps between when she plays well and when she plays poorly. It's not like she's shooting 80 and 63 or anything like that anymore. So she's becoming a little bit more of a mature player, I think.
Golf Magazine's top 100 in the world list has come out. Now, there's so many lists. You know, I'm a panelist for the Golf Digest version of this, as well as the rest of their versions. You manage what the score list for how many years, Bob?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, it just killed
Jason
you. Just worn you out completely.
Yeah, right. I gave it up.
But I love lists because I love the conversation around them. I don't put a lot of weight in any of them, but I like them because they create conversation and you know, there's no such thing as the right list, I don't believe.
At Score, when we were running it, we always said, the day that everybody agrees with our list is the day we stop doing it.
Right, and that's good. I like that. So in terms of top 100 in the world for Golf Magazine, three Canadian courses made the top 100 in the world, according to Golf Magazine, which is Cabot Links, Cabot Cliffs, and St. George's. Obviously, for me personally, the most obvious one missing would be the National, but I know there's others there that maybe...
Well, I think you could make an argument maybe for Hamilton, maybe for Royal Montreal.
Yes.
You know, as I say, it's totally subjective how you look at it. And I think in a lot of cases, you know, I know in Score Golf, one of the things that happened was a lot of, you know, you have to have a certain number of rankers play a golf course.
Yes.
And sometimes a course that was probably worthy of being on the list just didn't have enough people go out and see it.
Right.
And in this case, I think you have a lot of voters who might not get to Canada that often. I mean, you could go to Jasper and say there's a great golf course, which always does really well.
Right.
Shaughnessy does really well in the Score Golf rankings. Right. And it's sort of odd to see some of those not on the list, but man, like 100 in the world is a pretty narrow.
It is narrow. I think you hit the nail on the head there too, because if you look at the amount of links golf courses out of Scotland and Ireland that make this list, well, that's a destination where people are flocking to from all around the world. So these panelists are probably going through those courses. So
a lot of them are going to Cabot, you know that.
Yes, and now especially the hotspot in terms of North America, especially Eastern Seaboard.
I will say that I don't think Canadian golf courses internationally get enough respect for just how good they are. We have some really world-class golf courses here that people just don't know about.
I would agree 1,000%. I also, part of that is the fact that our golf season's so bloody short,
yeah.
I think, as well.
It started this morning.
Yeah.
It felt like cold.
Oh, man, it feels like it's going away in a hurry, and I don't remember it ever actually getting here. Okay, and finally, in news and headlines, there was a Where's Waldo sighting this week.
Yes.
Tiger Woods at the U.S. Tennis Open, hanging out in Nadal's box there. And he looks good. He's got his hat on. He's cleanly shaved. He looks like a well-put-together Tiger Woods.
Yeah, he looks in there watching with his kids. They took them in there. I actually, interesting on that same line, I got a note from TSN tennis guru Mark Masters,
yes,
who was there asking me about, he said that he saw Charles Schwartzel and Louis Oosthuizen. One of the finalists is from South Africa, and they're going to be there to cheer him on. And he said, do you know them? How can I contact them? He wanted to chat with them. I'm not sure if he did. Actually, I didn't look this morning. I should have looked. Right. But so lots of golfers at the tennis.
Yeah, that's always a sport that has always crossed over,
yes,
with golf, right? Whether it's at country clubs.
And both ways.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting. Tiger, I like it. I don't like these photos popping up of Tiger where he looks like always disheveled. You know what I mean?
Like the police photo?
Like the police photo. I like much better. For Tiger, like
shots.
A black TW hat and a clean. Okay, you know, let's have more of those Tiger photos.
Exactly.
I'm not liking the other ones anyway. All right, lots to get to. We're gonna come back on the other side. Tomo Bysett, who is the man behind all the
smart man,
very smart man, and a good guy as well. Always fun to talk to him, and he's been on our TV show. He's been on our radio show. And TaylorMade has launched a new iron, and this is, well, we'll get into it next, but basically, any possible technology that has been used in a TaylorMade iron product over the last decade jammed in to one model. That's what this is.
TaylorMade's greatest hits.
That's what this is. They took the best possible bits of technology available to them. If you're a guy who just wants to hit it as far and as high and as forgiving as possible, this is the club for you. So
okay,
we're going to get into that next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, Zucchino, Weeks. Well, TaylorMade is, I guess, on a bit of a run here over the last few weeks with the launch of another product. A few weeks back, we were out at Glen Abbey for the launch of the P790s and the P730s, which is a two forge products. One geared for the best players in the world, the Rory McIlroys of the world at the P730s. And now a new blade, P790s, which is a forged blade with speed foam technology. So it's a player's club that, you know, anyone of probably a 12 handicap or better could probably take advantage of that technology and have a great-looking player's club that still gives you some forgiveness and things of that nature. But on the heels of that, Bob, this week, TaylorMade announced. Yes, there's more. Yes, Bob, tell them what they've won. What they've won, Bob, is a TaylorMade MCGB iron. That's the new product block. Now, CGB is center, back center of gravity.
Center of gravity back.
Center of gravity back. That's what it stands for?
CGB. Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. So, basically, it is the furthest back and the lowest they've put the center of gravity in any iron, as well as the hottest face. Now, normally, when they do these, like, iron launches for the, you know, for the forgiving iron, the COR is brought to the max in the long irons, and then it's pulled back a little in the middle, and then by the time you get to like 8-9 wedge, there's the faces aren't hot,
right?
Okay, with this set, what they've basically done is given you 8 drivers, and you play 8 of these irons, you got 8 drivers in the bag. The pitching wedge face is as hot as the 4 iron. Okay,
I heard that the pitching wedge can go 290.
That's right. Scully out of Glen Abbey was hitting 240-yard 4-irons, 250-yard 4-irons. Now, he's a big boy,
he's an athlete. Yes.
So I'm not suggesting that everybody's going to do that. But absolutely ridiculous in terms of the heat in the face. So you've got speed slots, you've got face slots, we've got tungsten, we've got
greatest
CGB.
Greatest hits of TaylorMade.
Yeah, this is all the technology into one. The man behind it, like all the iron product at TaylorMade, is Tomo Bystedt. I had the opportunity to speak with him.
Back here at the range here at Glen Abbey with Tomo Bystedt, and there's a new maximum distance, maximum forgiveness iron coming to the TaylorMade family. It is the MCGB. And TaylorMade, obviously the leader in the driver fairway wood hybrid world, have been for quite some time. But what if we could put eight drivers in your bag, a bag of irons that act like drivers? And to me, man, this is pretty close.
Yeah, basically that's exactly what this is. It's the first time we really approached making, a maximum COR set in every club in the bag. And, that's what's cool about the set is we're looking for, that golfer that basically is not saying, hey, I want workability necessarily, or I want shape the ball. It's about, how do I get the most amount of forgiveness? How do I hit the ball really high and really far? And it doesn't matter if I'm pulling a 5-iron, 7-iron, 9-iron, or a pitching wedge. I want that performance in every one of those clubs.
So we've maximized the COR from wedge right up to 4-iron. And if we go back and look at the line of M2 and M1 product, you would back off COR when you've got down into the short irons to give a little playability, workability,
exactly.
Especially. We've abandoned that here.
Correct.
And this pitching wedge is as hot as it can get.
Absolutely. We're pushing the max COR all the way through the pitching wedge. And the way that we're doing that is we're keeping the sole, the face really thin. The soles are filled with a speed pocket. We have face slots on the face as well, and tungsten wading through. So they're very low CG all the way through, and that's how we're preserving that speed. And again, it's for that player who's really looking for, hey, I want to hit more greens. It doesn't matter if I have what iron I have in the bag, or in my hands, which number it is. It's all about getting the ball up in the air and hitting it consistently. And I think that's really what the MCGB is all about.
And yeah, all the bells and whistles. You went through most of them, even the flute hosel. Every bit of iron technology that has been released over the last 3-4 years is in this body of work.
Yeah.
Interesting. If you're sitting at home right now and saying, all I want to do is hit it straighter, higher, and further, and not be worried about my worst swing, this is the product for you. I'm curious, though, because something you mentioned today as we've been here for the media launch that I really liked, and you've put the product in our hand today, we looked at it, we compared it to all the product. I was preparing myself for a shovel when you were talking about this, and instead, this is a great looking iron.
Right.
How important was that, and why? Why create an iron still that looks so beautiful?
Well, I think part of, designing good golf clubs and designing golf clubs that I think people are compelled to want to play is to make them look good. I think people, golfers ultimately, we have a vision of how we see ourselves as golfers. We have egos inherently in our golf games. And I think people want to feel like, hey, I'm a good golfer. I my game is improving. I want to play at a higher level than I currently am at. And I don't want to look like I have training wheels on. I want to look like I come into the game with a serious set of golf clubs. And, what's so nice about what we're doing currently with the technology is that we're able to kind of miniaturize some of the technology. So by using tungsten in here, by having slots, fluted hosels, things like that, we can get the low CG without having a huge sole. We can get the speed in the face without having a massive face. Like, we can do all these things because of the technology that we've developed over the last 4 or 5 years.
And of course, CGB, center of gravity in the back. It's low, it's back, ball goes up. It's pretty great stuff. If you're in the market for a game improvement iron and you do not get one of these in your hand, you're making a huge mistake.
Bob, I don't know if you've had a chance to see this iron in person yet. They had it out at the launch. We weren't allowed to talk about it until this week because the embargo was still on.
Double top secret still.
Yes, secret probation. but the thing that surprised me most about this is that they can make these kind of irons now. And unlike the first generation of these types of irons, 15 years ago, they're actually good to look at now. Do you remember how they used to build these things?
Yeah.
They were hideous. And the one thing Tomo said is in that interview that I found interesting is players don't want to think that they've got training wheels on. And when you look at this club, it just looks like a normal cavity back iron. Everything going on in there, they've masked really well, especially from the top looking down.
You know, we were talking about this yesterday when I was playing golf, how there's a segment of the market that might be getting a little bit older now that started, when they were 25 or 30, and now you're getting into your 40s and your 50s, and you're not able to play as well as you did back in the day. You can't play the blades anymore, but you don't want to play with that big, chunky, fat, kind of wide sole kind of club.
Right.
Because it just doesn't look good for you. And so I think something like this is perfect for that segment.
Yeah, I think, if you can mask the technology
for
the people when they look down, still, I think that's huge. So another winner, we'll see. I think a lot of this iron, MCGB iron, is going to be in a lot of bags come next spring. On the other side, we're going to switch gears. Adam Hadwin, waving the red and white. He's going to the President's Cup, Liberty National, as part of that international team. Talk to Adam Hadwin next.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
And welcome back to GTC. Well, September 28th, not too far away, Bob.
Nope.
President's Cup, Liberty National. I like the venue. I know this golf course was not hugely popular with the players the first time it was seen by the players in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And then this next time around when they played the Barclays there a few years ago, they've softened it a few places, and it's much more digestible to the players. I don't care about any of that. I love the fact that it's at the foot of the Statue of Liberty with the Manhattan skyline as the backdrop. And I think that's a great place for an international global competition. If you're playing for the red, white, and blue, I don't know if there's anything more American than that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool spot. I think it was like a dump yard or something before then when they spruced it all up. And I love the way they set them up for these kind of competitions. It's not the typical PGA Tour or even major setup. They let guys play. Let the guys make a few birdies.
Rough will be down.
There'll be some chances to go for a par four off the tee to hit par fives and two, because they want to see birdies and they want to see this match play get heightened.
Yeah, it'd be great. And when matches come down to that 18th hole, that's going to be fun to watch it with that Statue of Liberty just kind of hanging over there on that 18th green. But someone who will be there trying to spoil the party for Team USA is our own Adam Hadwin, who grabbed that 10th spot, final spot. He was kind of hanging on there near the end, and we kind of thought he was going to make it, but we weren't sure. And then obviously when he made the cut last week, or we started putting those rounds together, all four good rounds, we kind of knew it was solid. The only man that could really spoil the party was really Grillo to a certain extent, who was having a good week as well at Boston at the time.
Tied for 22nd eventually.
Bob had the opportunity to speak with Adam immediately following the confirmation that he was part of this international team. Let's hear that interview.
And here is Adam Hadwin, the newest member of the international side of the President's Cup team. And first of all, congratulations on making that. Was there any doubt in your mind going into the last week that you were going to make it?
Thank you, Bob. I mean, there's always some doubt. You know, when you've got people telling you exactly what needs to happen in order for you to drop out of the rankings, and certainly there's always a chance, but you know, at the end of the day, I knew that if I, you know, I went out and played well and took care of my business on the golf course, that I'd have a good chance, you know, not only to maintain my ranking, but if something were to happen and I were to fall out, that I would sort of, you know, I would think, you know, at least make a fair case for a captain's pick this year with the body of work that I've had throughout the year.
So has anything happened? Have you had any contact from Nick Price since everything's been finalized, or any of the team coaches? Have they kind of reached out to you at all?
I haven't yet, no. You know, I saw Mike Weir. Mike had tweeted something, but I haven't spoken to any of the coaches yet via email or text message yet. I would imagine that, you know, over these next couple of days, once the entire team is finalized and everything like that, all the information packages and welcoming and all that stuff will probably go out.
Right. I know this was one of your goals when you started the year. How satisfying is it for you to accomplish this? I mean, you've had a sensational year altogether, but where does this one rank in your list of things you want to check off?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I think this is going to be pretty incredible. You know, I've been speaking about this since after Bay Hill, when it really became a possibility. You know, to begin the year, it really wasn't even in the realm of expectation, but it's amazing what a few good weeks will have. And I wouldn't say it's been my best summer since then, but you know, as of late, I've been able to put some good finishes together, and I'm sure it'll really start to sink in once we actually get to New York and we're with all the team members, and you know, we're doing all the dinners and practice rounds and obviously competing as well. And you know, I spoke to Graham about the week and what to expect, and maybe some words of wisdom that he might have. And it sounds like it's just going to be an unbelievable week and probably something that I'll never you know, never forget the rest of my life.
I talked to Mike Weir last night, and he said to me that, that one thing that he found in his first go-around was that there's a pressure that gets put on you very different than anything you have week in, week out on a PGA Tour, even when you're playing to win a tournament or anything. It's just a very different kind of pressure, but it's something that really benefited him going forward in his career. What are you expecting in terms of team competition, and what's your history in terms of that?
I mean, as far as history goes, you probably have to go back to college golf for any, you know, sort of meaningful outside of the World Cup last year with David, which I think was a great experience to sort of, you know, it was only 4 days, but it was sort of maybe an intro to what this week might be like. You know, and I can completely understand what Mike is talking about, because, you know, when you're playing for somebody else and you're playing for 11 other guys and representing an international squad, that, you know, it's one thing to sort of screw up and it be on you and it only costs you. But, you know, to put yourself in a position to, you know, maybe win a title, win a President's Cup for the international team or something, the weight kind of that brings with it is completely different.
Speaking of winning, the international side doesn't have a great record. When you look at the matchups here, what do you see?
I mean, obviously the Americans are an extremely difficult team. You know, I think on the surface, obviously, you know, if straight from a world ranking perspective, you know, they would have the better team on paper. They spend more time together. They play in an event like this every year with Ryder Cup. And, you know, we're sort of representing a number of different nations. I'm guessing we're probably 5-6 different countries this year, maybe 7. And so it's not necessarily as easy of a task for all of us to come together. You know, we may have language issues and stuff, but, you know, it's match play. Anything can happen. We obviously have an extremely strong team. There've been a bunch of guys that have been playing some really good golf this year. Some guys that, you know, maybe not have had their A game, but are still top players in the world. And you know, I think we're going to go there. We're going to have some fun. I think you know, Captain Price has learned from previous years, and the group of guys has been there a bunch, and they're going to be able to pass on all the wisdom to us rookies. And, you know, I think we're ready to come out and take one on American soil. It's not going to be easy. The fans are probably not going to be too friendly with us, but I tell you what, there'd be no better place to win a President's Cup for the international team than in New York.
It's right. That's right. Well, I wish you the best of luck. Congratulations on it. It's a marvelous achievement, and we'll look forward to seeing you at Liberty National.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Lots of interesting stuff there from Adam Hadwin heading to Liberty National and international team. Bob, the one thing he said that stands out for me in all of that is there's something different about when you screw up and it costs you versus it costs everyone on your team.
They always try to tell each other, I know when you having been to these, like I know you have, say, you know, well, don't worry about it. Don't say sorry. That's the one thing they always talk about. But it's so hard to get that out of your mind when you're playing in the team competitions, whether it's better ball or foursomes or four balls.
And that's the difference. That is the big difference right there. And some people handle it better than others. And good luck to Adam. And hopefully he enjoys it and plays well. We remember that Graham Dillette was such a huge part of that team back in 13 at Murfield Village. So hopefully Adam can have a similar experience. On the other side, 3-dub, winners, weird, and what? This is GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada. Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC Zucchino Weeks. It's three dub time, winners, weird, and what? And I have the tea.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Well, Bob, my winner this week, and it's kind of interesting because we don't have a lot of golf going on,
right.
Mac Hughes has quietly played very solid in the FedEx Cup playoffs, and not a lot of attention has been on Mac, even in north of the border, even us Canadians, because we've been focused on Adam Hadwin, and we've been, you know, wishing him to this President's Cup team, making sure he's secure for the top 30 at Eastlake, which he is. But while this has been going on, Mac Hughes, all of a sudden, 31st on the FedEx Cup point list. If he can move up one position, that's it. Next week at the BMW, he'll make his way to Eastlake with Adam Hadwin.
And not only that, but getting in there, he gets in the first three majors next year. Probably the PGA. The PGA has a little bit of a different system. The World Golf Championship events, it's a big payoff.
Big deal, right? And that's the thing, what people think of when you start getting into those events. A lot of them tend to open up, right?
Exactly.
That's the thing. My weird this week, you know, we think of Tiger Woods and all the money he's made. Now, obviously, off the golf course, you know, probably the world's first billion-dollar athlete, really, off the golf course. But he really, due to TV rights and just things that you know, generate money for the tour, he changed purses. You know, remember when he first came out on tour, him holding that check?
Yeah.
Like 120 grand because
exactly.
He changed all that. But Kyle Thompson tweeted out this week, interesting, Mayweather made $300 million for one fight a couple weeks ago. Tiger Woods, in 320 events, made $110 million. So think about that. Think about the fact that Mayweather in one night of boxing, $300 million to Tiger's entire career on the golf course, $110 million. Obviously, there's $900 million there missing for Tiger, what he did off the golf course.
I've got the best new thing for Tiger, though. Why doesn't he take on Mayweather in this fight?
Well, it is a circus. Well,
yeah,
why not?
Exactly.
Why not? And he does think he's a... he trained like he was for combat.
That's
so
right.
I think Tiger might be prepared for that, Bob. And my what this week is a positive what. What a great story this is. College football season is off and running. USC has a long snapper who's blind. His name is Jake Olson, and he lost his sight at the age of 12. He's a long snapper for college football, and you're doing well here with USC. But also found out this week on the Dan Patrick Show, he was a guest. He shoots in the 70s.
Yeah.
Golf in the 70s. And has not had his sight since he was 12. Like, what an athlete. How much better must his other senses be to be able to do that without his sight? Unbelievable, Bob.
Watching blind golfers play, I've seen it a couple times. It's amazing. They sort of get set up by a sighted person, and they hit the shot. Man, it's amazing to watch. There's a great guy, he's long gone now. Claude Padamore was the world champion, I think, 12 times. He's from down the Hamilton way.
Unbelievable.
Incredible
stuff. Bob, the tee is yours.
All right.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
My winner this week is Mark because he's still alive after that coughing fit.
I was dying here beside him.
Yeah,
I had a swig of my coffee, and I almost died live right here on the air.
My winner this week is Mitch Grassing. He is from Kitchener, Ontario, currently going to school at Carleton University, so he's in Ottawa right now. He finished second, lost the final of the World Long Drive Championship. And this guy is a cool story. He's only been doing this he's 22. He started when he was 19.
Big boy.
He's a big boy, but let me tell you, he wasn't always big. So the first year he started, he said, I was a regular stick. I was only 200 pounds. So in 2014, he finished in the top 32. 2015, he didn't do very well. So he took 2016 off, went to the gym. He put on 65 pounds doing powerlifting. So right now he is 6'3", 265, and he put on a performance. He hit two drives, 1-4-35, 1-4-37. Unfortunately, in the final, he didn't get it in the grid. Now, if you've never seen long driving, you not only have to hit it long, but you got to hit it straight.
Yeah, straight being a relative term.
Yeah.
Right. Grid's like 200 yards wide.
Right, exactly. When you're swinging it like this, now one of his drivers fell apart, he said, in the final, his gamer, so he struggled a little bit, had to use a backup.
I didn't realize he put on that much. I just thought he was just a naturally big boy. I didn't realize that was by design. Wow.
He said he used to play, started off playing hockey, had a pretty good slap shot, but big boy, and congratulations to him for the runner-up. So my weird this week takes us out to beautiful Nova Scotia, to the Annapolis Royal Golf Club. Now, this is a small-town kind of golf course in a... Annapolis Royal is one of the oldest founded cities in North America. I think it goes back to like the 1600s. And the owners of this golf course, their names are Harry and Jackie Shepherd. I guess business wasn't going all that well. So what did they do? Well, they're originally from England. So they left work one day, got in a plane, and went home. They just abandoned the golf course.
They just left it?
They just left it there. And the people who work there and the people who play there don't know where they are. They've just sort of gone.
They must own home, real estate in Florida. Yeah. Same thing. Just leave the keys,
exactly.
Walk away.
Says, we do know that there was some strain on the business, but apparently it got a little bit too much. So now the members are thinking about trying to take it over, and they're not quite sure how they're going to do it. But anyway, these guys just said, well, that's it. We're gone.
That's going to be you and I one day, Bob, just walking out of the studio.
Yeah, that's it.
We're done.
In the middle of the show.
In the middle of the show.
And my what this week is, what a strange round for this guy who's playing. Out in BC at the Winchelsa View Golf Course. This is near Nanaimo. He was playing out there, and all of a sudden, as he's walking along, he feels the back of his leg, and he's thinking, "Oh, got a funny little bite there. Must be a spider bite or something." Anyway, he doesn't really think too much of it. Continues, plays his round, goes back in. Now his leg's bleeding a little bit, so he goes to the hospital. What do? They pulled a bullet out of his calf.
Come on.
He said he didn't know. He actually got shot. There were some people playing with a gun, apparently in another part of near the golf course, and he got hit in the calf. He didn't even believe it. They said police say they don't believe he was targeted. They said the bullet was likely fired by someone just practicing marksmanship in the rural area beside the course. Now, practicing, obviously, they got to practice a little more.
Yes, I think so. That is unbelievable. I went out and I got shot.
And didn't even know it. That's the best part.
I told you about my trip to, we only got a few minutes left here before we say goodbye to our national audience. We got 30 more minutes coming up, including Jamie Solowski. We got leaderboard updates, Scully time. So that's coming up next on Golf Talk Canada. But, I was in Dallas this year doing Byron Nelson for PGA Tour Radio. I'm on my way home, and there's a guy from Toronto who was in Dallas for a golf trip. And he goes, I know who you are, you and Bob, Golf Talk Canada. I said, yeah, that's, he goes, what are you doing here? I said, no, PGA Tour Radio. I said, what are you doing here? He goes, well, my buddies and I meet from all different parts of North America, and Dallas is a good spot for us because it's easy for everybody to get to. And he said, we were playing a golf course. I forget the name, but it was a high-end facility, good part of town, etc. And he says, we're playing golf, and the group ahead of us, we saw like some commotion going on in the middle of the fairway, the group ahead of us, one hole ahead, and we found out after the fact that they got armed robbery, stood up in the middle, they stole their everything, their clubs, their wallets, everything got held up in the middle of the golf course, of the final hole. Yeah, so apparently gun violence on golf courses is like...
not all that unusual.
I want to change my winner, by the way, this week. Oh. Bob's my winner.
Why?
For not having anything to do with dismembering male body parts or sex on a golf course.
Somebody tweeted to me, said, asked if I was the first person ever to say the word penis on TSN.
Yes, did it? I liked when you said penis last week on Golf Talk Canada TV, because it was like there was like this pause. I wasn't too sure what you were going to say. I was waiting for his Dustin Johnson got removed.
Yeah, that's right. It's three wood.
Yeah, it's three wood. Is his Tiger Wood.
Yeah, Tiger Wood.
Oh, man. Well, there we go. We just lost the show.
That's
again.
It.
It was highbrow, and we went to potty humor.
Yeah.
I killed it in the last minute here, Bob. Damn. Ah! All right. Jamie Zalowski coming up, the former World Long Drive champion, now transitioning to professional golf. Bob spoke to him. Leaderboard updates. There's not a lot, but there is something going on the LPGA and Champions Tour. We'll do some Scully time. Maybe Scully can let us know what he thinks about the captain's picks.
Sure.
And maybe pick a golf course. And I won't let him say baby. You can't say baby because it's his own club. But what golf course for him, if he could only pick one from Canada, should be on that top 100 list. Maybe we'll get his opinion on that. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision in the golf on the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit floor liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, Zucchino Weeks, the bonus 30. If you're listening on the iHeartRadio app online, 10:50 in Toronto, 11:50 in Hamilton, a few other select markets. Bob, the Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada, is at National Pines this week in Barrie for the Ontario Championship. Jamie Solowski is in the field. I'm trying to find him here on the leaderboard. And there he is, playing actually quite well, 71-69. He's 4 under par and a tie for 33rd right now with 2 rounds still to go. You had a chance to speak to him this week.
Jamie Sadlowski is best known as, of course, the long drive king, two-time world champion, but he's trying to make the switch to become a tour player, and he explains why he's doing that and some of the things he's had to go through. He started off a little bit slow. He's made the last 4 cuts and played pretty well, and he's starting to round into form, and we'll see how and why he's doing it in this interview.
Let's hear from Jamie Sadlowski.
And welcoming to Golf Talk Canada is Jamie Sadlowski, who many people know as a long drive guy, but is making the transition to being a full-time player and doing pretty well on that. Jamie, welcome. And you're up in Barrie for the Mackenzie Tour stop this week.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. We are here for the week after Cape Breton. So been here a couple days and getting settled in and learning the golf course and be ready to go tomorrow.
Now, as I mentioned off the top, most people recognize your name as one of the longest drivers of the golf ball. You're, I think, a two-time world champion, and you were a regular in the world long drive competitions that were going on, actually going on this week as we're recording this as well. But you've decided to try and round out your game with everything, becoming a tour player. And first of all, before we get into your results, what was the decision behind that?
I think it was just time for a change. I had been, competing since 2003 and started as a junior and captured a couple junior world titles and obviously the 2 Open titles in 08 and 09. And, at the age of, I just turned 29 and I've been contemplating, trying to play for, 5 or 6 years now. And I just felt like it was time to step away from long drive, and I just felt like I was capable of doing a little bit more with a whole set of golf clubs rather than just one. So I was looking for a new challenge, and I've definitely found one. It's been a different path for sure, but it's something that when you do play well, it's pretty rewarding after obviously a lot of the hard work that I've put in here the last couple months trying to become a professional golfer.
Now, I know you've been working a little bit with Peter Costas to try and work on your game, and that's a pretty good guy to have in your camp as well. What kind of stuff do you have to work on when you want to make this switch? It may not be quite as obvious, I think, as most people think.
Yeah. I approached Peter last December. I had played actually that was the first time that I didn't go to Worlds since 2003, and I played a couple events over in Asia, Indonesia and Macau, and then came home for a little bit, went over to Australia for a month and played 3 events over there, and that was kind of a turning point. Peter had told me a long time ago. I had been around Peter quite a bit, being members at Whisper Rock and being around him in McCord, and he had told me, like, when you want to get good at golf, find me. I know I can help you. And I was over in Australia for a month by myself and playing and struggling, and it was my first kind of couple months as a professional, and I picked up that phone when I got back around Christmas time and said I was ready. So Peter's been great for me, and it's been quite the process. We haven't – Peter did not want to change – a lot of things about my golf swing. It was more so just refining things tightening things up and, just kind of making things more repetitive, obviously. And we haven't really shortened the golf swing, obviously not, but I'm not hitting it that as hard as I used to. It's become a little shorter on its own, but more so just kind of refining.
Now, when you're playing out there, though, are you still one of the longest hitters out there? Are you still utilizing your length to some degree?
Yeah. I mean, the golf courses that we play, they're pretty short. My first couple of events, and especially one that sticks out, was Victoria. It was, 62 or 300 yards on the card. And a lot of the golf courses here are very short, but I think I've done an okay job. Obviously, the first couple of months weren't as smooth as I wanted them out here, but the last couple of months I've found myself into a pretty good groove and playing some pretty decent golf. But, yeah, I mean, length to me is not just how far you hit it off the tee. Advantages of, hitting 8 irons in the greens versus the other guys hitting 5 irons. I mean, that to me is a huge advantage. So I've obviously been able to utilize that. When I do get a chance to put the driver in the hand, I'm obviously going to hit it like I mean it. Is it going to be 150 miles an hour? No. do I still have that ability? Yes. But at the end of the day, you got to hit it and find it. So I think there's different ways for me to use my length. And, the golf courses this year, it seems like the weather has just kind of been a lot of rain and a lot of soft golf courses. And when they tuck pins, that's a big advantage for myself to be able to hit, a lot of wedges and a lot of mid irons in there where guys, obviously have a lot more lumber than I do.
Right. Now I noticed on your results, you made the cut the last four tournaments. As you said, you're starting to get into your groove. Now the season obviously is coming to a bit of a close, but do you feel now more like where you want to be headed than you did say at the start of the year when you were just sort of starting out on the McKenzie Tour?
Yeah, there's no question. I just feel like my bad golf is not bad. A bad day is hovering around even par, where a bad day before would, things would go pretty sour and, shoot 6, 7, 8 over par, where I really feel like I've eliminated that. And I think that's just growing as a golfer. And when your bad is around even par and over 4 days, if you can, shoot 67, 65, whatever it is, you can really help yourself and tighten that your space on the leaderboard. So I know I'm capable of shooting some low scores, which I have already this year, and I feel like just the mentality of it, where I was able to go low before, but it just felt like turning around. It was like, okay, I'm 6 or 7 under, and it's time to give a few back. Where now I feel like I can. I've grown enough and I've learned enough, and just the way I navigate around a golf course is a lot cleaner than what it was.
Perfect. Well, Jamie, I think a lot of people are rooting for it. I know it's a big step. It's a different step for sure for a guy who's had success as a long driver to make it as a tour player. But we wish you all the success at the Ontario Championship this week and into the Q School season in the fall.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it.
Bob, it's interesting there in that interview talking there where he suggested that Peter Casas did not change a lot of his golf swing, just tightening it up a little here. And I was also thinking, I can't recall a long drive competitor of any kind making the transition successfully. I can't off the top of my head. So, but maybe because he is not as unorthodox as some of these guys, and maybe that's going to do him well.
It might work for him, and he's certainly going to give it a try. He's certainly working hard at it. I mean, he doesn't look like those big drivers. We were talking about Mitch Grassing before.
Yes.
At 2.63, 2.65. He's like 5'10", 175 maybe.
Yeah.
Soaking wet, carrying his golf clubs. So he's going to give it a go anyway.
All right, there's not a lot of professional golf going on around the planet, but we will update you on some leaderboards coming up next. We'll also do some Scully time. Does he like the captain's picks? Is there a course that he would add to that top 100 list from Canada? And he can't say Bayview. That's the only rule. He can't say Bayview. You can't pick your home club. So we'll ask that next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Going to get in a little Scully time here, but before we do, let's do a quick leaderboard update from around the world of golf, starting with the European Tour, the Omega European Masters. Scott Hend has the lead there by three over Darren Fichard at 11 under par, and they are through two rounds, so 36 holes to go on the European Tour.
LPGA Tour, Lydia Ko, Lexi Thompson, woo, big names at the top of the list there. And Lydia Ko having some of her best golf of the season so far, 65-64. They are both 15 under par. Candy Kung is at 14. Top Canadian is Brooke M. Henderson, 9 under par.
You love that, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
And on the PGA Tour Champions, the Japan Airlines Championship. Scott McCarron looking for his fifth anchored putter win of the season at 12 under par. That's a one-shot lead over Bob Weeks. I mean, Kevin Sutherland at 11 under. And Todd Hamilton and Colin Montgomery, three back. Stephen Ames playing well in this one. Ames, 8 under par, only 4 off the lead.
The Ontario Championship, Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada, National Pines Golf Club in Barrie, Ontario. Scott Wolfs has the lead. He's a one-shot lead at 14 under par over Lee McCoy. Johnny Ruiz is at 12 under. Top Canadian Stuart McDonald at 11 under. This is the penultimate stop on the tour. Next week is the big Freedom 55 Financial Championship, where the five cards to the web.com tour will be handed out.
Oh, cool. That's a big promotion. A life changers there, the big promotion from Mackenzie Tour to the web.com. Adam Scully joining us now in studio. Skulls, how's it going? Before we get to this top 100 and I get a course that you can't say Bayview and Bob can't say Weston, we're going to go around the horn here. Before we get to that, President's Cup captain's picks came out this week. Last week, we were debating the Phil, if you were America, and we were trying to find names on the international squad, which is sad. You know, just what do you think of the picks? You think they, like, for me, I don't really, with the exception of Brian Harman, who I feel bad for, I don't know what you could have done either way here. I think this is the way you had to go.
So looking at this, I go back to actually 2011 when it was in Australia, when Fred Couples picked a guy named Tiger Woods as a captain's pick.
Mm-hmm.
He had a poor year. He was coming off everything that happened in 2009. And what did Tiger do? He went out and got the winning point in Australia for the Team USA. Now, Phil obviously had a bit of a better year than Tiger did back in 2011. So I'm sort of going back and forth between that. As we've mentioned previous times before, I think the U.S. is a little more casual in this event, if you will. Like, it's not quite the Ryder Cup.
Which is probably why they do better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're not, you know, they go to Ryder Cup.
The pressure isn't quite there.
That, like, they're going to war.
So, in that case, I mean, Phil obviously is showing better form with a T6 finish last week, and who knows what he'll do next week and maybe get into East Lake. It's tough not to have that leadership on the team. And as you said, it's tough not to pick anyone else.
They need a good ping pong player in the room as well.
Yeah. Someone to compete with Cooch.
You know, I was watching the broadcast last week, and someone said that on the NBC broadcast. You know, I might even have been Bones who said it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bones has done a good job so far. Oh. Excellent job. But he said it like being serious. And he'll play anyone in the room in ping pong. And I'm going to myself, really?
So,
really?
So
that's what it's all about.
Matt Kuchar told me this story. The last time they were at the President's Cup, where Phil was determined he was going to be the best ping pong player in the room. And Matt Kuchar, nobody has beaten Matt Kuchar in Ryder Cup or
President's Cup ping pong
for the last 8 years. So Phil went out and hired a ping pong coach.
Of course he did.
And he got him to learn how to play this some special shot or something. And said Kuchar said, it worked for a little bit, but then I figured out he only had one shot, and then I just played away from that, and he just beat him. So Phil apparently is all in on the ping pong.
That's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
That is absolutely ridiculous. Now is not Cooch like a very high level? Was he not almost like NCAA level tennis player?
He and his wife,
right?
Yes. NCAA tennis. They were won the husband and wife U.S. tennis championships.
Right. So thus the transition to table tennis, not
exactly
a big deal for Cooch, right?
Huh. So that's hilarious.
All right, top 100 golf. Golf Magazine's version of the world's top 100 came out. I've been lucky. I'm kind of just going through this list. I've played about 30 of these golf courses, which is pretty cool.
Not jealous at all.
Yeah. And most of the ones on this list that I've played are not the American ones, are right. You know, the overseas ones, although I have played obviously the three Canadian courses that are on here, St. George's, Cliffs, and Lynx out in Cabot. Also, there are some great American courses on here that I did play. Number two at Pinehurst, Stadium Course at Sawgrass, Whistling Straits. Hmm. There's some great ones. There's Caribbean courses like Teeth of the Dog that I've had the pleasure of playing of. But my favorite golf course in the world is not on this list, which is Oldhead in Kinsale, Ireland, which is shockingly not on this list. And I say shockingly because they have Cape Kidnappers in New Zealand ranked very high on this list. And Oldhead is very similar in that. You've got 18 holes that are 500 feet above the ocean. Yeah, 18. It's unbelievable. It's a spectacular place, and I'm shocked that it's not on this list. But that's what lists do. Lists create controversy. Absolutely. They create conversation. Discussion. So for me, the one course, if you ask me to pick a Canadian course, with all due respect to great golf courses that we have in this country, and there's so many, as Bob outlined earlier in the show, that you know they don't get the credit they deserve. But for me, with all due respect to places like Hamilton and Shaughnessy and, you know,
Scarlet
whatnot.
Woods.
Yeah. Scarlet Woods, Daytona. The Nash, for me, is the obvious. You know, one of only two Tom Fazio designs in Canada, has traditionally been in the top three in this country for forever and a day, many times number one. From tee to green, one of the most solid ball-striking tests that we have as a country. That would be the one, to me, that is a no-brainer to put on this list. So you can't say Bayview, Scully. So if you could pick
sorry,
one,
Dustin, I would have. I promise.
Yes.
The Nash is the same for me. I haven't had the opportunity to play a lot of these golf courses, some of the higher echelon golf courses in Canada.
You haven't mooched as much as Bob and I have.
I haven't tried to yet.
Yeah.
Wink,
yes.
Wink, nudge, nudge. Yes. I've played the Nash three times, and I actually caddied an event for it last year. So I've seen, you know, the golf course in different conditions, and, you know, been on the practice facility and gotten to play almost from the back tees, and that place is just spectacular.
It is.
I mean, on the list, I've played five holes at St. George's, and that was actually rained out in a junior event about 10 years ago, so that sucked. But and both
if anybody from St. George's is listening, Adam would like to complete the last 13 holes.
I wouldn't
if you're
that.
Out there.
It was pouring rain, and of course the Cabot courses, which are
awesome,
which are just spectacular.
Which is like going to Ireland, really. It's like flying to Ireland,
literally.
Really,
well, I've said this before. When I've played Royal County Lounge, number four on the list, but standing on the first tee at Cabot Lynx, I felt like I was at Royal County Down.
Yeah,
just with the scenery and everything.
It feels Irish. Is the first thing I said when I was out there. What about you, Bobby? You can't say Weston.
Weston would be my pick. Yeah. No, I would. I'm going to say Jasper. I think Jasper to me embodies everything that a great golf course should be. It's got great scenery. It's depending on the year, the condition is a little up and down, but it's been really good lately. And I think it embodies the playability that everyone wants. So like you are a really good golfer. I'm not as good a golfer. Scully's a really good golfer. But we can all go out and have a really good time. And you just walk off 18 and you go, where's the first hole? I want to go play again.
Right.
And you can see
Well, that says a lot right there, right? Yeah. The fact that you just, you don't want it to end.
Right.
Exactly. That says a lot.
Interesting.
Only a few minutes left, but I'm just curious, and I didn't tell you guys I was going to ask you this. So I'm curious now on your answers, because I'm looking at this, and I said my favorite golf course in the world is Oldhead. Let's eliminate Canadian golf courses from this question. My favorite North American golf course, I would say, is probably, and I'm going to, you know, other people are going to cringe. If TJ Rule's listening this morning, he's going to be cringing because he's such a traditionalist, and we're so different on our golf tastes. Although we still both appreciate great golf courses, but he's more a straightforward, traditionalist kind of guy, where I like, you know, heli golf. I like the extreme drama of the tees and the ocean and the things like that. So I love Kiawa. I love the ocean course, Kiawa Island. I love the Straits course, Whistling Straits. I would play them over places like Wingfoot and places like that. I would. And he, right now he's probably cringing if he's in the car listening to us. What's your favorite golf course in the world, Scully? And is there one in the U.S. that because I know I'm guessing you're going to say Royal County Down.
You know what? I'm not going to say.
Wow. Well. All right.
I'm
going to
say
some
Royal
here.
Port Rush.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, which is tremendous. And I haven't played it since they redone the two holes for the Open Championship.
Neither have I. And it was partially because of the experience we had, you know, walking on and chipping beside Darren Clark, which was pretty cool. And then playing with my dad, we both had knickers on. So that was another unique Irish experience. I'm actually heading there for 2019 on another boys' trip. So I'm looking forward to playing that, or maybe playing that again there for the Open Championship. Everything about that links, it's just, The scenery's awesome, right by the ocean. There's so, I'm guessing, you know, you play it the next day, the wind would just be.
You could play it 90 different, yeah, 90 different
a very
ways.
Different golf course. Royal Canadian Down, obviously, it's an unbelievable golf course. The blind shots are a little different, I guess, for only playing it once.
Yes.
I'm going to play it hopefully two or three times on this trip coming up to have a chance to, you know where to hit it on this hole and not go over there. So.
I played Royal County Down 1 week before the Irish Open. It was like playing, the golf courses over there are firm to begin with.
Yeah.
It was like playing golf in a parking lot. I think 2 under par won the Irish Open that year.
Wow.
2 under. I mean, it was just too much golf course for me, to be bluntly honest. Bob, what about you?
The best course I've played... is a little one. No, it's a little one down in Georgia called Augusta National.
Yes.
That would be my favorite. I got a chance to play there 2 years ago, and that was pretty spectacular. But the ones I haven't played, I'd like to play Cypress Point. I haven't played there. Kind of neat.
I'll tell this story very quickly because we only have a few minutes left. So Mrs. Golf Talk Canada, I'm sure she's at home listening. So when we first started dating, not first started dating, but about a year into us dating, we were in California together, and she has family down in California, and we were there for New Year's Eve, and we were going to drive from Monterey to L.A. for her to see her family for New Year's Eve. So that morning, though, I was going to play golf, and she was going to do, like, the spa thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So she did the spa thing, and I went and played Monterey Country Club, which is a great old golf course. It was redesigned by Mike Strands. It's in the Rota now for the Pebble Beach Pro-Am on the PGA Tour. I'm playing golf there by myself in the morning, the only person on the golf course with a caddy, and we're just walking. And it's 8 a.m., and I'm by myself. It was fantastic. It's a wonderful experience. He says to me about halfway through the round, he says to me, the caddy says, do you mind if I check my voicemail? You know, we're not supposed to be out here with the, but I'm waiting for a call. I said, yeah, I don't care. It was you and me and nobody else. Checks his voicemail, puts his phone back in his bag. He looks at me, says, what are you doing this afternoon? And I said, well, you know, I'm supposed to drive to LA. We got like a 6-7 hour drive to be at a family and New Year's Eve thing, right? He says, you want to play Cypress Point? I go, what? He goes, you want to play Cypress Point? And I'm like, my face went white. So I said, do I see a future with this woman? If the answer is yes, you're busy. So I, you know what? I turned down an invitation.
Wow.
We're about 90 minutes outside of Monterey on the road towards LA, and I'm very quiet. And Heather says to me, is everything okay? And I went, and I told her the story. And Heather says,
that's true love.
She said, you should have stayed. We could have stayed. So at that point, I wanted to hang myself. And of course, at that, you got to marry the woman. At that point, you must marry the woman.
So right then and there.
That was it. Ring came. I pulled over to the side of the road. I bought a ring and proposed. So that's how that went down. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm solo on TV. Bob, have a great vacation.
Enjoy
with your family up north.
Thank you. I'll send you some
pictures. Yeah, send us some photos. Post some on Instagram, Twitter. Look forward to it.
You got it.
Scully, you'll be in this seat next week with Bob.
Yes.
And I'll see you for TV.
Can't wait.
All right.
Can't wait.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.